when a police officer receives a call in regards to a situation that goes through 911, and they realize that it would have to be a long-term resolution of the issue, they basically alert me with the file, and basically what I do is I follow through. So usually elderly people where there's no criminal elements sometimes need to be guided to the right places. There's social services that have to be contacted, and basically I'm the go-to guy to help these individuals. There's other examples. Sometimes you could have street kids that have, you know, issues with authority, and the last thing they're going to want to see is a policeman. And what I do is I basically approach the individual, give him options, try to meet with him at his convenience, try to make him understand that, you know, we as police officers have a certain job to do, but at the same time, we're humans, and that we would like to see if we could help in any capacity, form or another. Basically, to us, what empathy is an understanding of the individual that you're dealing with. So that by you understanding the individual, you're going to have a better idea to finding a solution to whatever you're there for. And to understand someone, it doesn't necessarily mean you had to have walked in his shoes. Sometimes, by you being in his surrounding, you would understand after whatever he says to you where you're going with this. But for our profession, in order to help someone, I always said this, and this is what I taught my recruits. When you go on a call, don't cut the person off. Let him speak and listen. So to me, once that person spoke, it's like releasing the air out of the bag. Once the air is out of the bag, then you've got space to refill this bag. But do not cut him off. For example, the guy will start saying, well, you know, I can't handle the neighbor. He's been doing every day now, it's the last week, noise after noise after noise. And if you come there and you go, but wait a minute, are you sure it's just him making the noise and not someone else making the noise? Why you think that it's only him? Well, you don't make any noise. You know, don't do that. Allow him to finish, meaning let him out. Yes, he makes all kinds of noise. I don't know what to do anymore. I'm at a crossroad. I've been talking to him. He doesn't listen. I call the landlord. They don't listen. And now I'm calling 911 and I'm out with you guys. So this is it. So then you just listen. You pause. Give it a few seconds. You look at him. Sir, is there anything else? Usually he gives a big sigh of relief and he'll say, not really. Good. And now you understand. And now you apply whatever you heard in the best of the situation would allow you to. You know, when I had to announce the family member, their 10-year-old son had died in a tragic car accident. And the reason why I was asked to go, because at the time I was only 6 months in, I was still considered a rookie. But it's because the person didn't understand French or English, only spoke Spanish. And I speak Spanish and Italian. I was asked to translate the information. So when I went there at midnight, and the accident happened at 8 in the evening, the kid was crossing the street, it was raining, cars didn't see him, got hit by a car. He died at the hospital due to the injuries that he sustained. When we called the house to make sure someone was there, we sort of realized they were in panic, you know. So we went over right away, and I remember when you bust the door down because we were living on top of this little strip mall apartment. And so they bust us, they buzzed us in, and as she opened the door upstairs, I remember the log steps, she opens, she's looking, there was her brother, which also spoke Spanish, and two of her other kids, which I later found out there were kids, a 7 and a 5-year-old. So she had 3 kids and all boys. So they all were gathered at the door, like someone trying to peek in, looking, you know. And as they see me coming up the stairs, I hadn't said anything except, you know, Mrs. So-and-so. And she says yes, but she kept saying about her son. So as I'm going up the stairs, she kept insisting about her son. I hit the top step and I accompanied her inside the living room. It was hard to move. I was trying to make her sit. She wouldn't sit. I said to her, your son, so-and-so, yes, because, you know, we want to first identify the identity, if it's really him. You don't want to announce somebody the wrong kid. So he says, is your son so-and-so, yes. He was dressed as yes, and he goes, well, have some not-so-good news. And she was saying, well, what? And back at the academy back then, they said never to come up with the word, he's dead. Let them suggest it to you. And all you have to say is, I'm sorry. And I was trying to implement that training process. It wasn't working. Because I kept saying, I'm sorry, this, you know, he was involved in an accident. And she kept saying, okay, so where can I go see him? Which hospital? I couldn't see, he was at the morgue, the hospital morgue. So I go, he went to the hospital, but, you know, it's unfortunate, nothing could be done. And she kept saying, okay, but how is he? Can I go see him? So at the end, I had to say, look, I'm sorry. He died, the kid, and that was... And what stood more in my mind, the 7-year-old, because they used to sleep together, the 5 and 7-year-old had bunk beds. The 10-year-old had his own room. So the 7-year-old ran. I followed the kid. He went into this brother's room, and he picked up jeans around his bed. And he was crying, sobbing, and holding the jeans in his face, smelling his jeans. I guess he was smelling his brother. And I tried to go over. I did. Sat down, held him, and that's it. I personally believe that empathy is important, so that when you receive a call and you're placed in a situation, you can resolve the issue in hand on a level of understanding that situation better than opposed to just take out your guideline and just draw the line and just put everyone in the same basket type of thing. It does require, though, for, as a policeman, a lot of patience, a lot of understanding. And sometimes, and I'm not going to say it all, but depending on the police officer, when you get sometimes too involved in a particular call, it may come back to haunt you. And it may be a situational problem for the police officer. It's a little bit like filling up your bag type of thing. You know, so for every call you put in a little bit in the bag, eventually the bag will get full to the point where, you know, it has its limits. And well, then of course, when it blows, it's over. There was a person that, you know, called several times, you know, because of, I guess, a noise disturbance, all right? And apparently the person kept calling at least maybe a few dozen times, to which I understood the situation, that it was disturbing the individual, But by that same token, you know, you have to understand that, you know, because it's disturbing you, you know, looking at the situation, you may be disturbed at the slightest little sound, you know. That person needs to, you know, to live as well. So, came to a solution where I went to meet the person, and it was a situation with a bar where I made a lot of noise. So we sat down, the parties involved, meaning him, the bar owner, us, the police, and we formed like a sort of us, the police, that got mediator. Like we bridged the two together to have them make some sort of understanding, you know. And so we made aware of the bar owner, what he was doing to the neighborhood. The plaintiff here in this case spoke with the owner of the bar, and now he had an individual, not just a noise complaint, you know, that he saw he could speak with. So it didn't have to be always police, you know. And so they came to an agreement where, in order to cut off some of the sound noise level, they had to put a barrier. So they closed down, I think, some windows where it was giving way to where the side of he lived. And, you know, the fact that there were other people complaining as well to help before the bar owner to see to it that he find a solution to this problem. And so when it was all said and done, after a few months, and I remember going back to see this guy, the plaintiff, and he really said that, you know, it was like night and day now. The thing, you know, they hardly know it exists. The guy came through. He did what he was asked to do, and he did. And he thanked us for it because we bridged them together. So after a while, you know, you have that sense of accomplishment. You know, and basically all it was is just a communicating bridge. You know, sometimes people call police because they feel that they have no business, you know, going over on the other side of the fence. There's the police for it, you know. And what we say is, look, no, this is your situation, your business. You should make it your work, you know, resolution. What we could do is give you the tools to go over the fence, to speak with the person. He's not a bad person, you know. How would you know if you never spoke to the guy? So at the end of the day, when all this was all done and the person realized that, you know, yeah, they were great to speak with, they understood the cause, and therefore they did something about it. So it made us feel like, you know what, you know, mission well accomplished, you know, we did it.